Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. Our culture values efficiency and excellence. Our enjoyment of athletics reflects that. Whether we're participants or spectators, we tend to heavily emphasize winning and pay less attention to the intense human experience of athletic competition. There's a major exception to this approach, the Special Olympics. In this competition, the human experience is everything. We're in Billings at the Rocky Mountain College campus for Montana's 2014 Summer Games. Bob Norby is president and CEO of Special Olympics Montana. Bob, many thanks for inviting us to the competition.
Well, we're delighted that you're here with us, Brian.
Let's talk about what we're about to see. We're sitting together on a bench at the upper end of the campus near the Student Union. There's a very large tent out there that is the Olympic Village. We're looking across at overflowing parking lots. It was hard to find a place to park here today, and there are athletes out on fields. What are we looking at?
Well, this morning, Brian, we've got athletes competing in soccer and athletics, which include softball throw and something called turbo jav, a take on javelin throw, along with bocce. And that's just the competition going on within eye's range right now.
So that's this morning's. What's the overall schedule look like in terms of number of events and number of participants?
Well, there are 11 different Olympic-type sports that will be played out over the next 3 days. We'll be using venues all over the community, and over 1,000 athletes will be involved with that competition.
1,000 athletes who suffer from intellectual disabilities requires a heck of a lot of logistical support, fair?
Absolutely. In fact, it will involve over 2,500 volunteers and coaches just to put on these games.
When you say these games, that suggests there are other games.
Absolutely. There is no off-season for Special Olympics. We're a year-round program. Athletes train and compete throughout the year in seasonal sports. And so when we get done with summer games, they will already be in the throes of preparing for the fall sports, which largely is basketball.
So now, Rob, I'm going to go talk with some of those folks and hear what they have to say.
Let's do it. I think you'll enjoy the energy and the joy in living that you see on the playing field.
We are now in what is called the nerve center of this operation in the Student Union, and there are probably 15 people working on various things here. And young lady, who are you?
I'm Laura Coulterman, and I'm one of the co-directors of the Human Resources. We coordinate all the volunteers to run the games.
All the volunteers, meaning what in numbers, what's that about?
Approximately 1,200 volunteers that we schedule into different shifts to make sure all of the venues and events go off without a hitch.
So the implication of that is if they're not at the right place at the right time, you could have a real rodeo.
Definitely. We try our best to get the people that need to be where they're at. Of course, if they get lost or whatever, they can always call us. We have a hotline that they can talk to us on. We also have a email address that they can address their questions. We've had a couple calls this morning of people that forgot where they were supposed to be today.
I'm looking at your computer screen. What are we looking at here that helps you do your job?
This is a new program that Special Olympics just got this year, Special Olympics Montana, and this allows us to put up an online registration, what we call self-registration. In the past, we've always had to have people say, my name is John Doe, and I'm available Wednesday from 2 to 5, and then we would try and find a shift for them. With this software, they're able to log in, create their user ID and fill out the information, and then they can look at what is available for shifts and they can schedule themselves.
Far more efficient.
Much more efficient.
How long have you been volunteering for Special Olympics?
I've been volunteering for 3 years as part of the games management team as the co-director for human resources.
Why do you do it?
For the athletes. So they have opportunities to compete.
It may be a superfluous question. Why do you care about that?
I've been involved with different organizations, and a local group here in town that I've been involved with deals with children and adults with what we call challenges. And I have basically dealt with the children and adults since I was in junior high school. We had a program where I went to school, and what we did is we taught our participants basic life skills so that they did not feel that they were not worth people's time, and also to, you know, make them feel that they are independent and they can do things for themselves.
Thanks for your work.
Thank you.
Very cool.
We're approaching the Olympic Village. Families are coming out. Young guy wearing an antler hat and some treats. They're probably in this very large tent. I'm going to say 30 large round tables, music, prizes, stuffed animals, stuffed pillows, water bottles, a band at the end that's the equipment for a band that's going to be around playing, I gather. And it looks like a mixture of athletes, families, volunteers. Hi, you look like an athlete. What's your name?
Nick Roberts.
What are your events, Nick?
I do track and field and equestrian.
Equestrian means to me that you ride horses.
Yep.
How is it as an experience for you?
It's pretty cool.
Why?
Because I get to know how to ride a horse and how to do the trail course and everything, so it's pretty cool.
Did you grow up riding horses, or did you learn through Special Olympics preparation?
I just know how now. It's awesome.
And what do you learn from track, would you say, from the experience of competing in track?
I learned how to speed pretty fast, and yeah, it's awesome. I run like a lightning bolt, and I do not stop.
What? That's pretty good running. What distances do you run?
I do the 100, and then I do a relay.
Where's home for you?
Great Falls.
Thanks for coming and good luck.
Thank you.
We're now down at the soccer venue. Quite a few different soccer fields, flags, portable restrooms, sponsor signs, Billings Gazette, Murdoch's, First Interstate Bank. Maybe 200 people sitting in bleachers out on the field. They're just getting ready here to launch the competition. Hi, you look like an athlete.
Yes, I am an athlete for Special Olympics Billings Adults.
What sports do you participate in?
I'm doing soccer and track and field, but I'm sitting out for the whole weekend because of my knee.
What happened to your knee?
We were playing against Great Falls, and number 00... tripped me, and I heard my knee pop, and I went down pretty hard.
How long ago was that?
During the second half. I was playing in center today.
Oh, that's today. All right. So what happens? You're standing here. You're waiting for a doctor to look at you?
Yes.
Do you have the sense that they have pretty good docs?
Yes.
What position do you play?
In first half, I played defense, and then the second half I was playing center, and that's when I got hurt.
How long have you been playing soccer?
Oh, I've been playing soccer for a long time.
And if I ask you what you learned from playing it that you didn't know when you started, what would you say?
I can't remember, but I did play in a city league a few years back. I don't know how long ago that's been.
Do you like soccer, and if so, why?
I like soccer because it's one of my favorite sports, like track and field and basketball.
What do you get out of participating? In other words, how does it make you feel?
It makes me feel really good. Being with my teammates, being with my friends from all over the state, and having a good time.
Thanks. Good luck to you, and hope your knee gets fixed pretty quick here.
I hope so, too. Thank you, Brian.
Hi, we just talked with your daughter, Carrie, about her injury. You're her mom. I wanted to ask you, how long has she been involved in Special Olympics?
About 25 years or a little bit more than that.
And how's the experience been for you as a parent?
Well, it's been a great experience, mainly because we've moved 3 different times, and every time we've been in a new town, Special Olympics has been there for her and for me as a parent.
What would you say she's gotten from the participation as you've observed it as her mother?
Well, I think she's made friends all over the state, plus going to some international games. She still has a friend in New Jersey that she met in Iowa, and that was about 8 years ago. So it's a wonderful experience, plus the fact that she has gained so much in the social skills department.
She seemed very confident in talking to me. I could have been talking with a college soccer player about a bad knee.
Well, she's had a couple injuries, but I think it's just because she is so dedicated and focused on what she's doing that she just can't not do her best.
And how about for you as a parent, thinking about you with your child when she started with whatever disability she has? How has it been for you watching this process?
Well, she has grown so, and in her confidence, and we as a family have really been blessed with learning patience and just making friends also all over. It's been a great experience. Don't know where we'd be without Special Olympics, both Carrie and her family.
Thank you. You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're on the Rocky Mountain College campus with Bob Norby, CEO and president of the Special Olympics. So what's your job, president and CEO? What does that mean?
Well, my role in all of this, Brian, is to be the chief executive fan of our movement. I'm here to champion the rights of our athletes through sports as a vehicle to help our athletes be all they can be. But perhaps even more importantly, it's helping our communities appreciate the gifts that our athletes actually have. And they have many. All too often, our communities struggle with knowing what they are. And through games like these state games, we have an opportunity to showcase their hard work, their training, and their skills and gifts.
Your comments suggest a potential gap between the reality of these men and women with intellectual disabilities and the community's awareness of their capacity, their humanity. What are we talking about?
I think that's accurate. I think as a culture, what we don't know, we fear, and oftentimes label in ways that's just simply inaccurate. And by showing the community what athletes can do through a little help and understanding by communities, the return on that help from communities is exponential, meaning that athletes are developing life skills, they're developing confidence, and when they do that, they start to expand their horizons, they become more involved with community, they have gainful employment, they pay taxes. They're very much a living part of our communities and make significant contributions, if for no other reason than to teach us a bit about how to live our own lives. And Brian, to give you a bit of an example, a couple years ago I had an athlete by the name of Keo out of Missoula who came running up to me and gave me a big hug. I knew this young lady for about 15 years at that point, and a lady who struggled to speak, but with strength of voice, she said to me, "Bob, I feel really good about myself." And when I said, "Why is that, Keo?" she said, "Because everyone here treats me the way I want to be." Now, that's simply profound. It's simply profound because that's what we all want, regardless of our ability or disability. We all simply want to be treated the way we want to be.
How did you end up in this position, and what do you do with the rest of your time, or is this full-time for you?
Well, this is full time. I can hardly call it work. It's a passion. And I love what I'm doing. And I spend a great deal of my time doing this when I'm not with my own family. But Special Olympics is also part of my family. And our athletes have taught my family a lot about living and quite frankly, have even helped raise my own children in many ways with the kinds of understandings that I've acquired from my experiences through this movement.
Give us some history. How did this start?
Well, this movement was founded in 1968 by Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who has a sister by the name of Rose, now deceased, but a sister who, not unlike the athletes we serve, were struggling to find their place. And at that time, most of the folks that we serve were institutionalized. They were shelved. They were put away. Eunice Kennedy Shriver visioned the possibilities. She knew that athletes had much to offer. And not unlike math or music, sports is a universal language. People understand the concept of sports. They understand the concept of training, a starting line and a finishing line. And consequently, we're not just a movement in Montana. We are national and we are global and presently in over 170 nations serving over 4.5 million people.
I was quite surprised in reading your orientation pamphlet, which, by the way, is very professionally done, that in Montana it says more than 2,000 athletes and more than 2,000 unified sports partners participate in 17 sports. First, what's a unified sports partner?
Well, a unified sports partner is an individual without a disability who pairs up, trains, and competes with a Special Olympic athlete. And so we'll find them in bowling, we'll find them in track relays, we'll find them in cross-country and alpine skiing. In most of our sports, we have opportunities to bring people together with and without disability.
I'll read the next sentence. Under the direction of volunteer coaches in home communities, training occurs throughout the year. Competitions include several area or regional games and three annual statewide events. Now, clearly, that is a logistical, I was going to say nightmare. Let's not say nightmare. Let's say big job. Fair?
Very fair. Lots of moving parts, a myriad of details. It's infrastructure that is designed so that it supports itself all the way from start to finish. I will tell you that we have about 100 key volunteer leaders who service and support almost 2,000 day-of volunteers who are now actively engaged with the competition all across Billings today.
In nuts and bolts terms, what do you do?
Well, in my position as CEO, I have largely four responsibilities. It's strategic development, looking to the future and how we get there, because we do have a Vision 2020 whereby we get to the year 2020, we plan to be serving 3,000 athletes annually. Right now, it's about 2,100 athletes. So, and there are about 20,000 individuals with intellectual disabilities across Montana that could benefit from our services if they had the opportunity. Opportunity, by our definition, has to do with building capacity, and capacity is more fans and more funds. Fans are coaches, volunteers, and funds, it's the obvious, it's money, it's gift in kind that allow us to serve more athletes. So I focus a lot on strategic planning, on board development, and on funding our organization in perpetuity. We exist by the grace of our communities who give generously day after day after day. But we've got a plan for the future. And so we've got an endowment campaign. We call it 10 to the power of 3. 10 to the power of 3 is an acronym for raising $10 million over 10 years to serve 10,000 more athletes. And we invite the public to be part of that and to give generously to that endowment so we can care for the future of this mission. And lastly, I talk to the public. I let them know what's going on and invite their consideration among many other considerations they might have.
If people want to give or learn about volunteer opportunities, what do they do?
Well, the quickest way of finding out is to simply go to our website, www.somt.org.
SOMT standing for?
Special Olympics Montana.
I was looking at your mission statement. It says Special Olympics provides year-round sports training and athletic competition in a variety of Olympic-type sports for children and adults with intellectual disabilities. giving them continuing opportunity to develop physical fitness, demonstrate courage, experience joy, and participate in a sharing of gifts, skills, and friendship with their families and other Special Olympics athletes and the community. Now, that's fairly emotionally charged, serious language. How do those words come across to you?
Well, Brian, that mission statement, I think, reflects on how all of us wish to live life. And what this mission does is simply open a door to a population who is often, and I say often, marginalized, ostracized, minimized, taunted, bullied in all the social environments they're in, whether that be school, whether that be a shopper. They don't necessarily experience the same kinds of joys in our lives that mainstream population has. So this is not what I would consider a particularly unique mission. It's simply to say, let's welcome people of all abilities into our lives as we might invite others. And it takes some effort, I think, and that's why our program exists, because we create a platform to showcase athletes, give them opportunities to experience joy and friendship. And in the process, when we invite communities like Billings and all across the state to get involved, we hopefully are creating communities of acceptance, of respect, of inclusion. And so what we end up doing here with these games, through the help of volunteers, sponsors, family members, entire communities, is encourage athletes to have courage, enable them to be able. And when we do that, everyone wins, not just the athlete, but absolutely everyone wins.
If you're right, and the best in humanity comes out, that must affect the people who are working with the athletes.
Absolutely, Brian. Time and time and time again, I hear from volunteers that I get more out of this than I put into it. And that's remarkable when you consider the hundreds of hours any one volunteer who is organizing these games throughout the year puts into preparation. And then consider the fact that there are thousands and thousands of hours that all these volunteers put in to prepare for the games.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We are still in the nerve center, and at the next table is a computer with a road map and a gentleman sitting in front of it. You are, sir?
Ron Glass.
What do you do here?
My role here at Special Olympics for this year and the last 2 years is to run a shuttle service for the athletes and the coaches and the chaperones to move the athletes between the different venues when they need to be moved around. So we have four vans that have GPS trackers on them that we're dispatching by cell phone. So when we get a call from the cell phone that someone needs to move athletes from, say, the Sunset Bowl to the Lake Hills Golf Course, they would call us, and we would look at the map to figure out which van was closest, and we would dispatch that van over there to pick up those athletes and run them over there as quickly as possible.
We're sitting in front of your computer. It looks to me like a street map of Billings, different arrows, symbols. What are we looking at?
Okay, so we have an overlay of the street layout for Billings, and as the vans are moving, each time they turn a corner or stop at a stop sign, it beacons out across the internet, and we can actually see where they are, so I can actually track the vans as they're moving, so I can see as they're turn by turn as they're driving around through Billings, but I always know real time where they're at, so I know which van is closest to the next request that we get for moving athletes around.
When I drove up this morning, there were, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 large buses, Greyhound-type buses. What's that?
Okay. A lot of the teams from the major cities in Montana actually will charter a large bus, like a Greyhound bus, to bring the teams over here, which is very good for getting the teams here, and it's very good for moving the teams around if the whole team stays together. But most likely, you have certain athletes that are doing different sports than other athletes, and that's where the shuttle service comes in handy, because having one large bus to move around 2 or 3 or 4 athletes at a time is very inefficient and actually almost impossible to get the athletes at the right place at the right venues for the start times of the different events, and that's where the shuttle service comes in.
Ron, many thanks for your work.
You bet. Thank you.
Josh, you're dressed like an athlete. What's going on?
Well, we're here in town doing soccer for Special Olympics. I'm on the non-unified team, Great Falls Hornets Power, Team Power, and we've already played our first game. We lost by like one goal, I think, and but had a lot of fun, and it was a really good game.
How long have you been playing soccer in Special Olympics?
I think this is the second year that I've played soccer.
What have you learned from participating that means something to you?
Well, I've learned how to like throw it in and when not to go after the ball, like if the goalie grabs it, not to go after it, and just that way don't get tangled up with the goalie.
Coaches much help, or are you basically learning on your own?
Well, the coach is a lot of help. We've learned some stuff on our own, too, just basically how our teammates, how fast they can move, and so we can kind of anticipate each other where we're going to be at on the field, so we can...
Teamwork, it sounds like.
Yep.
You look like you might be another soccer player. What's your name?
My name is Haley Olson. I play soccer, and I play soccer, and I take swimming, and I do swimming and soccer, and I do swimming, I take dance class, and I was Tammy Maschini. I do swimming and soccer. I do swimming and soccer, and I do swimming this year.
That's a lot of work. Don't you get tired?
No. I do swimming. I'm going to do swimming this year. I'm going to get up in the morning and do swimming in the morning. Mom told me I'm going to do swimming in the morning. I'm going to get up in the morning and do swimming in the morning, get up in the morning, swimming.
Do you enjoy it?
Yes.
Why do you enjoy your athletic participation?
I'm going to vacation in the morning. I'm going to go to Rocky College's swimming in the morning. I'm going to get 3 gold medals.
Are you having a good time here?
Yes.
Why?
Because I'm unhappy myself. I'm unhappy with myself. My parents want to win the truck and trophy. I'm going to get 3 gold medals this year.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bob Norby and friends, I very much regret to say we're out of time. I want to thank you so much for having us out here. And to our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground, and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.